Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:30 Irish summertime. Today is April 9th, and today's been a day dominated really by where the dollar has been trading, because the euro is within sight of $1.60. It's up over a cent in here today, and that is on the back of speculation that the Fed is going to cut interest rates by 50 basis points in their upcoming meeting. I wouldn't want to bet against that. We're certainly going to get a rate cut, whether it's going to be 25 or 50 basis points. I think will depend on whatever data comes out between now and that date. But what that has served to do with this weaker dollar has been a boost to commodities generally. So we had a reasonably good rally in copper. Sorry, copper had a very good rally, but in the precious metals. Gold was up almost $19, silver up 47 cents, so steadying up in here. And of course, oil hit a new high today, and that is at 112.21. So breaking upwards from this consolidation above $100, it does appear now that $100 is the new floor for oil, and it would need to break below that level to really indicate that the bears have got the upper hand. Oil was unable to hold the gain up to 112 and is currently around 110, but still a stellar performance on the back of that news that US supplies were less than anticipated. That report that I posted today from Citigroup, really very interesting, because it makes the point very strongly that non-OPEC production is they're finding it very difficult to grow their supply. And demand right across the globe is increasing well beyond the ability of the oil exporting nations to meet that demand. And the oil chart has become much more consistent recently than it had been once it had broken upwards from the long-term base back in 2004. When it had broken up from that base, yes, there was a big difference between supply and demand, but it was enormously volatile. And it would be really a very big stretch to call the oil chart consistent. But looking at it over the last year and a half, it is everything that you would expect from a very consistent chart with a big disparity between supply and demand. And it really would need to fall back below $100 to offset scope, really for some further upside. Natural gas as well pushed above $10 today. It remains to be seen whether it can hold that gain. $10 really is a watershed for natural gas. It does need to hold above that level to, I think, attract momentum buyers into that particular commodity. But with this weaker dollar, you also had some pretty explosive action in, for example, soybeans. They were up 61, so back above $1,300. Sorry, 1300 cents, excuse me. And that's really quite good action. It's threatening that lower high that we saw about 2 weeks ago, and it does need to sustain a move above $1400 to tell us that that low that we saw at the beginning of the month was really an important one. And now looking at the industrial metals, you have metals such as nickel and zinc and lead, which continue to be in medium-term corrections. But tin remains in a very consistent uptrend. It's in a tight consolidation right now. There's nothing scary on that chart to encourage people to sell out of it. So that's still a trend in motion and very consistent. And looking at copper, well, copper has been consolidating for 2 years. 2 year consolidations and even 2.5 to 3 year consolidations are not uncommon in the industrial metal sector. You can look at any one of those charts and you'll see long consolidations. And it does look like copper is now ending this 2 year consolidation. It needs to sustain a move above $4 on that US traded contract. But if it can do that, it's going to attract quite a lot of speculative interest. That article I posted today has some comparisons between Chile and South Africa. It's really not the same ball game at all, because the Chileans don't produce nearly as much copper as the South Africans do platinum, and I don't think that their power problems are of anything like the magnitude of those problems in South Africa. But this is a supply problem, and it could easily end up with quite a bit of speculative interest being attracted to the copper market. So this is quite important. And of course, it also gives the lie to all of those commentators who were writing off the industrial metals entirely this time last year, and indeed all the way through 2007. This remains very much a secular bull market, which is prone to long consolidations, but is also capable of putting in some spectacular uptrends, and we've seen those consistently over the last 7 years, and there is no reason to anticipate that that is going to end. Looking at the mining sector, because demand for industrial metals is growing apace, we can anticipate that the mergers and acquisitions within that sector will continue to be making headlines for a number of years going forward, particularly because you have countries such as China and India and a number of other emerging or developing or progressing economies where they just need so much of these things to build the infrastructure that they will require to house and to employ the vast numbers of young people that they have, entering the workforce in the next decade and onwards. So that is a secular theme, and we can anticipate greater competition for the really rather limited number of companies out there that have reserves in the ground in politically stable parts of the world. The stock markets today, I usually start with stock markets, but we'll get there eventually. Stock markets have been quite quiet. And you had the Nikkei and the Hang Seng down both in excess of 1%. The Dow Jones is currently down 67 points, which is half of 1%. And it's a very similar story to what I've spoken about over the last couple of days, in that so many of these markets had pushed up towards the upper side of their ranges around those February highs, and they're pausing in there right now. Now, there's no evidence yet of downward dynamics to indicate that traders are betting that they're going to go back and retest the lower side of their ranges. So it's a wait and see type of environment right now, and those indices that are close to the upper side of their ranges need to break upwards and sustain those breaks to indicate to us that this correction is very much in the latter stages of its formation. We continue to maintain that as long as markets can hold above their January or indeed March lows, then those were important lows. They marked climactic selling activity, and we can give the benefit of the doubt to the hypothesis that this is base building formation, and we will see the formations of new uptrends at some point. But I don't think we're quite there yet. Now, there is, of course, a big disparity between markets that are heavily weighted to the financial sector and markets that are heavily weighted to the resources sectors. For example, you have South Africa, Mexico, Brazil, all testing their all-time highs in here right now. Now, of course, it depends entirely on the performance of commodities generally, but also on the performance of stock markets generally, whether those markets can actually break upwards to new high ground. And given the fact that commodities are doing very well and stock markets across the globe are relatively steady in here at the moment, I don't think we could be betting against it. What we can without doubt say is that these are relative outperformers. And once the global economy gets itself put back to rights, or as confidence returns to stock markets, well, it's going to be these markets, particularly those commodity-related markets, that are going to lead the way forward. Because they're leading in times of stress, there's a strong likelihood that they will continue to lead when other markets try to play catch up. So that is certainly something to be very much aware of. Looking at the bond markets, well, because of the speculation that we're going to get a 50 basis point cut, you had the treasuries up in excess of a full point today. The 10-year was up 21 points. And that is, I think, continued, really, I think, potentially quite lengthy top development. Of course, with the number of mortgages that are going to be reset over those ARMs or adjustable rate mortgages that are going to be reset over the coming years, having lower bond yields, which are, and the bond yields, of course, being what those mortgages are priced off of, having lower yields will allow a number of, well, a large number of people who are resetting to reset into relatively lower interest rates than we would have had this time last year. So there is a motivation for bond prices to be a bit higher. And of course, with those lower interest rates, that is certainly helping to push down the yields and expectations of where yields are going to be. And that is pretty much it for me, but thank you very much for your time and have a great evening.